The next thing I shall notice is my call to the ministry, which was a wonder to many in my own country, but most of all to myself. I believe that the first moving of God in my soul for the work of the ministry was when I was baptized by that dear man of God, William Gadsby of Manchester. I had for several years been convinced of baptism, but had tried all in my power to satisfy my mind without attending to it, for I felt such a reluctance to leave the independent church, the members of which had proved themselves such kind friends to me. I thought it would seem like base ingratitude to leave them after all their kindness, and as I did not at that time know any Baptist church with which to unite myself, I thought it my duty to abide where I was. Some time after this, Mr. Gadsby came to Manchester to supply the Baptist chapel of which he is now the pastor, and I went to hear him. I think I shall never forget the first time I heard him. When I got into the chapel, I thought to myself, "What a poor, gloomy, miserable place this is." And as the people came in, I felt such a hatred rise up in my heart against them as I never felt against any people before. Nay, so much so that I was just ready to take up my hat and walk out when Mr. Gadsby got into the pulpit. I was struck with surprise to see so poor and mean-looking a fellow, as I thought him, attempt to preach. I despised him in my very soul, and thought he looked like an ignorant fool, and that had not common sense. He arose and gave out a hymn, but it was in so drawling a way that I verily believed he could not read. Oh, how the devil rose up in my heart! I even wished that someone or other would raise a disturbance in the chapel, for I thought I would kick him out of it with all the pleasure in the world. My prejudice was so strong that when he went to prayer, I do believe that I actually hated the sound of his voice. He appeared to me to stutter and stammer as though he could hardly get a word out of his mouth. My soul boiled with rage, and I called myself a thousand fools for coming to hear such a fool. When he had finished his prayer, which was very short, I thought to myself, "Poor creature, thou canst never preach, I'm sure." And I felt a secret pleasure in the hope that when he had read his text, he would be obliged to tell the people that he could not preach. The words of his text were, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." And he was so long in reading them that I dropped my head down and thought I would try to go to sleep. He then made a little pause, and I looked up to see what he was about, and he was looking all around the chapel and rolling his eyes in such a way that I really thought him crazy. The first words he spoke were, "Perhaps you will be ready to say that according to our sentiments we cannot find a good man upon earth. But by the help of God we will, or we will ransack the Bible from Genesis to Revelation." Oh, how my prejudice was knocked down at a blow. My soul melted like wax before the sun, and I exclaimed, "God bless thee. The Lord help thee to find the good man." He first showed that by nature no man was good, and oh, the depths he entered into in showing man's lost and ruined condition. But when he came to describe the good man as he stood in Christ, and the good things which were then brought forth out of his heart, my soul was so overcome that I cried out in my feelings, "Whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die." Ruth 1:16. My very soul was knit to him as closely as Jonathan's to David, and my ears were nailed to the doorpost. I had never heard my ins and outs, my ups and downs, my days and nights, my sorrows and joys so opened up before. Had he been in my very soul, he could not have opened it up more plainly. From that day I attended the Baptist chapel, and oh, the heavenly times I had when Mr. Gadsby was supplying, for he was not at that time their settled pastor. The next time, if I recollect right, that he came to supply, I was baptized, being the only candidate. Oh, the sight I had of the Lord Jesus Christ when I went down into the water. By precious faith I saw him sunk in deep waters, where there was no standing, and all the waves and billows of divine wrath overwhelming him for my poor soul. I can never describe the solemnity, humility, holy wonder, adoration, self-abasement, and godly contrition that I felt whilst I stood in the water. Dear Mr. Gadsby, while standing in the water before he baptized me, offered up a short petition to God, and before he concluded, placing his hand upon my shoulder, he begged the Lord to bless me, defend me, stand by me, uphold me, and protect me. And, what was amazingly astonishing to me, he finished by begging God to raise me up as an instrument in his hands for his own glory and the cause of truth. I believed and felt in my very soul whilst in the water that God heard and answered every word that flowed out of his mouth, and my soul was so swallowed up in glory that for a time I did not know whether I was in the body or out of the body. Oh, the difficulty I had when I came up out of the water to refrain from telling the whole congregation what I had seen and felt of the preciousness of my dear Lord and Savior. After this, I was not like the same man. I had no rest nor peace but in reading, searching, and praying over the Word of God at every opportunity which my employment would admit of, morning, noon, and night. Oh, what a spirit of prayer I felt, that God would open my understanding to understand the Scriptures, and how many times did those blessed words of David come into my soul with power, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law," Psalm 119, verse 18. I felt such wrestlings at times with God, that he would show me the meaning of his blessed word, that both body and soul have been quite weak and feeble, and sometimes such light and life would shine and flow into my heart from a text of Scripture, that it set my very soul all on flame of love to God and his people. And I have cried out, "O Lord, here I am, send me with a message of grace and peace to thy dear children, who are kept in bondage under legal preachers." For at this time Mr. Gadsby was not settled at Manchester, though he was so a little while after. But alas, when I looked at my situation in Providence, with hardly a shoe to my foot, with a large family of little children, over head and ears in debt, many times with not half a bellyful of victuals, without any human learning except just enough to read some parts of the Bible, and hardly able to write my own name properly. "Good Lord," cried I, "what can I be at? Surely I must be mad to think of preaching, such a fool as I." Then I determined to trouble my head no more about it, and did all I could to put it out of my thoughts. But it was just like trying to empty a spring, for it flowed into my mind as fast as ever I tried to put it out. One day, when I was wrestling with the Lord to show me what it could all mean, and how it was I could not put it out of my heart and keep it out, and telling him how unfit I was for the office of minister, as being such an ignorant fool that I could not speak properly, those blessed words which God spake to Moses came with such power that I was quite struck with amazement. "Who hath made man's mouth? or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Exodus 4:11-12. O how my soul was melted and crumbled down at his blessed feet, and like a poor simple child I cried, What, I, Lord, what? Wilt thou open my mouth? What, wilt thou teach me what to say? Can it, Lord, be possible? Is it, dear Lord, from thyself? Be not angry with thy child, O Lord. It is such a solemn and great work to go and speak in thy great name. I am afraid, Lord, lest I should run before I am sent. Do not suffer me to be deceived or to deceive others. I am afraid it cannot be real. Is it really from thee, Lord? Do tell me, do make it known to my soul. Whilst my poor soul was pleading with him like a child, these precious words came with such power and sweetness that brought me firmly to believe for a time that it was of God. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Yea, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. Oh, the blessed sweetness and divine confidence which these words brought into my heart. Oh, the divine light and life that shone into my soul. Thy God to supply, thy God to teach, thy God to deliver, thy God to uphold. Nay, my very soul was satisfied that there was everything in my God, in which I could stand in need of, both for the ministry and for the family, for the body and for the soul, for time and for eternity. Here I was wonderfully favored for some time, with sweet communion and fellowship with my God and Savior. The Word of God was truly a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path, Psalm 119:105. I was enabled to commit it into his blessed hands, for him to work his own way, and if it were his good will and pleasure, that he would open the way in his own time. But if it were nothing but flesh and blood, pride and the devil, I prayed from my heart that he would overthrow and stop it. I felt so much the greatness and importance of the work, and the awfulness of running before I was sent, that it was my earnest cry night and day, that I might not be deceived or attempted without his blessed approbation and smiles. Then again I was sorely harassed, for fear it should be nothing but flesh and blood, for when I began to think what a poor, ignorant, illiterate fool I was, how could I think of being the mouth of God, and what could I do in opening the scriptures of truth to feed the children of God with wisdom and understanding that had no understanding myself, but was a complete ignorant fool? Surely, thinks I, it must be a delusion of the devil, and I must be altogether deceived. This brought me down upon my knees to God again, and I could appeal to him, who knew my very soul and before whom my heart was open and naked, and I could cry with unfeigned lips, Search my heart, O Lord, and show me if I have any evil end in view. I begged from my very heart that if it were not of him, he would deliver me from the thought of it and pardon me for ever having thought about it. As I was going to the prayer meeting under these workings of mind, my soul was so led out to God that if it were his blessed will, if he had indeed chosen such a foolish thing, such a weak thing, such a base thing to preach the gospel, he would be with me that night in a peculiar way and bless me with liberty in prayer, and such power attending it that the souls of the people might be blessed. And I told him it would be a token whether it was of God or of myself. To my wonder and astonishment, my soul was so let out in prayer, and I had such a sight of the mercy, goodness, kindness, and love of God to such unbelieving wretches that I hardly knew how to conclude. Words flowed so freely, so sweetly, and so feelingly, and that I was quite at home in the Lord.